We put out, over 434, I wrote a leaflet.
So this is 434 already? It was, or were you still 347?
Over 347. Oh, I don't remember where I was at that time. No, I can't tell you. I think it could have been 347. We put out a leaflet quoting the Employees Association and then quoting our fight, and we told them what they got, which was like a minimal amount, and quoted Hahn. Supervisor Hahn said, what? To the association? You're asking for less than we're willing to give? It was on a Tuesday. And the association had put out a leaflet, oh, the association wins this 2.5% for the, you know, whatever their position was. By Thursday, we had a leaflet out that afternoon telling the workers what had happened. There was such a commotion in the hospital, so that week on Thursday or the following Tuesday, it must have been Thursday, the Board of Supervisors changed it and increased the salary. But the association people were not there, and they didn't know about it, and they were still crowing about the lousy increase they got, and we had the second leaflet going. We organized more people in that interim than I think at any other time. I don't remember what it was. But, I mean, the workers like to fight, even if we were not successful at that particular time. And we weren't in getting everything that they should have gotten. But, I mean, we were there to fight for them, and then they saw the association was absolutely down the... They were taking the garden path to disaster. Well, they fired the head at that time, and they got new people in, and the new blood really was responsible for the fact that they finally affiliated with our union, and now they're one of our most militant unions.
Now, so the process, the procedure was you would go... To
the board,
personnel officer, whoever, who may or may not incorporate it into their official request.
Oh, they didn't tell the board supervisor what we asked for. They made their minds up independently after listening to us and asking us questions and so forth, and they made their recommendation to the board supervisors. Then we came up to the board to argue against those recommendations and fight for more, and many times we got more.
So the arena was at the Board of Supervisors.
The arena was really at the Board of Supervisors, although we used to meet, but it wasn't a meet and confer. It was collective begging. That's what it was, and we got terrific press on it all the time.
Now, in going before the Board of Supervisors, pay was clearly not the only issue, because even in 53,
no.
I noticed issued this. There were issues of the holidays and benefits were raised.
That's right. Holidays and benefits and Social Security. We had a tremendous, in the 60s, 62.
Now, in 53, there was holidays and benefits were raised. What were the benefits at that point? And were you able to finally negotiate benefits?
We didn't negotiate it. We came up there and argued and fought. Demonstrated. I wouldn't call it negotiations. It all took place, you know, in a fishbowl situation. On the whole question of sick leave, we were behind all of the other. I tell you, which the public worker unit, they had the best fringe benefits for the Department of War and Power, which was very well organized by the building trades. And we had the custodial and elevator help. And Councilman Gilbert Lindsay was the head of that little local there. But they, because of the water, the dams, and all of the construction that took place by the Department of Water and Power, they had the building trades, and the building trades' working conditions were the best, and their salaries were the best. So even in the city of Los Angeles, if you were a clerk and you were in the Department of Water and Power, you got more money than the clerk who worked in the city hall. That was just corrected very recently. That took a long time to overcome, and that came through unionization. But the county paid the lowest wages of anybody, and they were least well organized, and that was the spirit to organizing. So we had a fight for holidays. We had fewer holidays. We had fewer sick days, very, very bad. We had fewer vacation days.
So you were always able to use the comparative
Oh, we used the comparisons, but they didn't like to do that. They liked to compare it with a non-union insurance company or something like that, and we said they weren't comparable. And we fought for it, and we won. We're winning. You know, if you look over the fringe benefits from the time we started to organize until we got collective bargaining and after, you can see the leaps that we made in those items. We had a case, for instance, at All of You and Rancho Los Amigos, the workers worked a split shift. They tell them to go home during the day, and then they have to come back. Well, how do you beat that? Because they said they would feed the patients three meals a day, and they couldn't afford to keep them on that long. And so they laid them off, and then they'd bring them back. Those people that worked straight through in order to try to get the same person on the shift to work three meals, they make the patients have dinner at 3:30 at Rancho Los Amigos, which meant that half to three-quarters of the food was thrown out because the patients weren't ready for their dinners by 3:30. It was a money question. And the patients and the families of the patients were a great support group. They always viewed the union as trying to improve the condition of the patients. So we came before the Board of Supervisors, I can't tell you the year, in which we made a proposal that they work the day shift for two meals, and then they have a part-time, which a union very seldom asks for, a part-time shift, because we found out some of our members did want to work that part-time shift, for the evening meal, and have the evening meal at a decent time so the patients would eat the food. And they figured they couldn't recruit, and we told them that we would help, and we did. And, of course, they recruited.
And you had sufficient numbers in the union and sufficient bodies at the hearings that you were able to prevail upon them on some of these issues.
On some of them, yeah.
Now, when you went...
Well, it wasn't only... Let me say this one. We had clout. We got publicity that we couldn't have paid for. The community was turned on to us. They really were sympathetic. We had a very... The community in the county of Los Angeles was very, very sympathetic. When they went to the hospitals, they didn't know how we did it. They saw us working. We weren't... They weren't as sympathetic, for instance, to the clerks who worked in the administration offices. They'd complain about them. They were having their coffee all the time, which wasn't true. It's just that the public came in at the time when they had a legitimate break period. There was no question. They were sympathetic. And we got support even from taxpayer groups many of the time. Not all of them, but many of them. And when we came there, we had a good case. Never came, tried to bluff 434, myself, who was a primary spokesperson. Never tried to come there and flim-flam anybody. We always had substantiation. As a matter of fact, we were commended by the Board of Supervisors for being, and you can check that with Supervisor Edelman or Hahn, ask them what they think about our union. They said that we came in with the most substantiation for what we were asking for than any other organization, and that they listened. Even if they didn't disagree and do what, even if they disagreed and didn't, we didn't get what we wanted, they listened. And the next time we came in, then maybe we'd get it the next time. And that was backed up by power, by demonstrations, by participation by the rank and file, knowing that they had a good case.
Now, before the strike at County General, was there picketing or any other job action at the hospital?
Oh, there were always. We had sick outs. We had rolling sick outs. This is before the strike.
Mm-hmm.
We had lunchtime demonstrations.
Picketing outside.
We had picketing right before the Board of Supervisors. We have our night shift workers come in during the times that we were bringing up grievances and problems to them. The nasty, terrible garbage from the incinerator was blowing all around the hospital, and they had contagious stuff in there. They used to burn them. And we charged this before the Board of Supervisors because we were turned down all the time to correct it. And during the lunch period, newspaper guys who were sitting there on the TV ran down to the county hospital, and it was blowing that day, and they actually saw what was happening. And the Board of Supervisors thanked us. We once saved the Board of Supervisors something like $80 million. A period of time, it came to $200 million because we claimed that the in order to get paid for Medicare patients, they had to turn in the paperwork within a certain period. I think it was 90 days. And if they went over the 90 days and then turned the paperwork in, they didn't get repaid. So all this money they didn't collect amounted to a huge amount of money. I think $400 million. And I ought to check that, but there must be something in the file to see how accurate these numbers are that I'm giving you. And how did we learn about it? Because our members were doing the work, and they told us that there was a room in the basement which was loaded from ceiling to floor to ceiling with all these things, and that the patient would, they'd do it maybe 3 weeks after the patient got home, etc. So we also claimed that the patients didn't get tests, diagnostic tests, until they left the hospital and were discharged because there was such a follow-up in the administration. We charged with them overbuying. We charged with them with the loss of a certain amount of turkeys each year, and management involved in that. I mean, we gave that information. Well, on this particular question about, we recommended that they hire temporarily 200 clerks, and the 200 clerks could then ask the patients the questions when they came in at the right time and so forth and so forth. Well, the board of supervisors poo-pooed this, the CAO poo-pooed this, and during the lunch period, the one of the members of the board, Republican member, Benelli, I think he was Republican, and Frank Benelli, and the newspaper guys and the TV went down to the hospital, and they couldn't find this room that I had alluded to, and they thought I was out of my head, and then they found it in the basement, and they saw it. And the county did put on many, many temporary workers, and they did clear it up, and it was acknowledged at the board of supervisors, and we were thanked for that. We were commended for it. So that we had respect. It wasn't only being militant. I want to point that out, because that was the easiest thing to do, was to be militant. It was great. Our members were ready for it. They were under no illusions. They wanted to know everybody that they were mad and they weren't going to take any more. Well, we had facts to back us up, and we developed those facts, and we presented those facts. And when they were investigated, we were proven right. Not all the time, I mean, but on our facts, we weren't disproven.
Now, when you went before the Board of Supervisors, 4347, would you also be going for the would you go for the whole unit?
Right.
Social workers for everybody?
Everybody.
So, for instance, on the the boards, I noticed in 58, you went from an across-the-board proposal to a $40 flat, so that the differential between the lowest-paid worker and the highest wouldn't be as great. But then mm-hmm. that seemed to get dropped. That seemed to be just the only time that was argued.
We didn't win it, I don't believe. I don't know whether we did it. I think we did get it once. There was a lot of disagreement among the various groups. The higher paid workers wanted the percentage, and the lower paid workers wanted the flat rate. You know, one time Jerry Brown gave money, and the response of the workers was not really what it should have been. I mean, workers have to be educated to get away from the idea of, in my opinion, of the percentage raises, because the lower paid people are penalized. You know, if you get a 10% raise, which is considered huge, and you're getting $103 a month, what does that mean? You're getting $10, you know? $10 raise. You know, we had a name for it, and we are known for that. We called it the Pope John formula. And we tried to convince them, and went before, but that was when we had won collective bargaining, I remember. The union has a Catholic hierarchy in Washington for many years, and it's a group of people in our union that distinguishes us from many unions, is that this whole theme of social justice of the Catholic Church, of a section of the Catholic Church, is exemplified by the style of our union. And we had a research and an organizer, director of organizing, who helped us from the national office, because originally he came from here, and he's a member of our union, John Gagan, who died recently. And he told me about, he had been telling me about the latest papal encyclical, which I then studied several of them, Leo's and other popes' encyclical on social and labor issues. And as a Jew, I found it very interesting and wonderful, this other side of the church, this interest and this passion for social justice on the parts of several of the people. And I read one of the papal encyclicals about it from that pope, I think it was Pope John, and we called it the Pope John formula. And when we went to the board of supervisors with the Pope John formula, we got quite a reception. The Pope John, on becoming pope, said that the formula for the way they paid their workers in the Vatican had to be changed. That by getting a percentage raise, the janitors and the laundry workers and the kitchen workers were being paid miserably, while the upper echelon got paid adequately, very well. And he changed it and gave them more money that year to the lower paid workers. So we used that and said that we were going in for the Pope John formula, and that we felt that the lower paid workers, who had always taken a beating on this question, should be recognized, and they get more money, and that by money. Well, I don't remember that the county accepted that. I think that, I don't really remember whether we got it and then we got criticized for it or what. But we had the problem because it upset the relationship didn't upset me, because I think the relationships are all based on exploiting the lower paid worker. Mm-hmm. It's not based on equity, but they were preserving that this kind of worker should get so much more than another worker. Now, the irony and the importance of what I'm just saying ties into the whole fight that the union's going through now on the question of sex discrimination. Because they do have a system. They have made those decisions about comparable worth, only they're the wrong decisions. And in the public worker field, it's most evident. It's not hidden. It's published every year. Isn't that an interesting point?
Well, and that whole notion of, in fact, wasn't it, there was a differential last year or 2 years ago for the state employees that was part of the comparable work fight, where I think they got, they negotiated an extra 1.5% or something.
Yes.
To try and bring them up a little bit. But that was the interesting thing, that was in 58, which was the first time I noticed, and I think it was the first time, according to the paper, that there was the $40 across the board instead of the percentage, and then that was dropped. But then that same year, there seemed to be an effort to get equity a different way, which was an extra percentage.
Well, from
the lab assistants and lab attendants.
Well, from then on out, we, in order to benefit the lower paid worker, and also workers who were out of line and weren't being paid comparable worth, we developed a system of, on top of a regular wage increase, that we have inequities, and that's how we took care of that.
So that was this. It looked like 57 or 8 is the point at which you started doing that.
Yeah.
Now.
Now, we did not have collective bargaining then,
right.
But we bargained collectively. I mean, begged collectively. I want to tell you that in the 60s, or just around that time, we were told that there was money from the Department of Labor. They were giving grants out from the Department of Labor. Must have been during a Democratic administration, I know that. For retraining and upgrading of minorities and low-paid workers. I don't know whether it was specific minorities. There was low-paid workers, which meant minorities and women. And we heard about it through our national office of the union. And this team from the Department of Labor came out and met with us. And we made a proposal to the... this is right before the strike. This was in the 60s. In the early 60s, we proposed to bring money to the county, and I went before the Board of Supervisors and said that we can bring in so much and so much money, and they will retrain in these jobs, and we can get some of the workers out of the laundry, upgrading and so forth. And we had a memorandum of understanding. And the association, who also heard about it and were asked by the county whether they were interested, they weren't interested. So we had the only existing memorandum of understanding. Now, when it came later to setting up units and fighting with the association, we already had and even fighting with AFSCME, who tried to raid us at the hospital. I'll come to that later. We already had a record of a memorandum of understanding. No other union did.
So that was early.
It was in the early 60s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I did notice in the on the workload issue,
yeah,
that apparently there was administration support for increased nursing personnel. This was in 57, the union raised it sounds like, the excessive workload was endangering the patients.
Oh, we were there every year, that way.
Apparently, the administration came with an argument for increased nursing personnel, which I guess it sounded like it was then approved. Now, was this at the higher level, at the RN level, or was it all levels?
No, it was all levels, because we came in with horror stories. Take Rancho Los Amigos. They put skates. They were wearing skates to get from building to building. And they had some pretty bad things happen in the hospital, and we brought that out. We publicized it, and we got the hospital hierarchy to stop fighting for these things because they were then criticized. You have to also understand that we didn't treat them like Ford cars. These are relatives of our members. They were our neighbors, our mothers. Not mine, but theirs. So we always, although we did not represent, the majority of the professionals, we just had the pharmacists and the social workers as our professionals, we did what teaches and what the fighting for better education for the children and other organizations do. We fought the professional fight for better care for the patients. For instance, that's why we supported the doctors later on when they went on strike. They didn't strike for money. They gave back their wage increase. What they wanted is some more x-ray techs to come in when a trauma case came in, and they wanted a pediatrician, the pediatrics to be open in the at night so the working mother could come. So we fought for the patient care all the time. And it got to such a point that when we got before the board, we fought in parallel with, for instance, in the laundry, they needed some new laundry machines. And the head of the laundry said, I'm fighting. He said, they're not paying attention to me. Is the union going to take up this issue? Are you interested? I said, of course we're interested. I said, I need some more facts and figures. They gave me all the facts and figures. So we took up not only workload, but we took up patient load. We took up care of the institution. Preserving the machinery that we have, getting new machinery, et cetera.
Well, it looked to me like the late 50s, that things began to turn around in terms of getting a little bit more success.
Yes, I would say that was, yes, right.
Now, what would you say, what I think...
That was right after the merger in 53. It was a time when we had help, organizers assigned to organize. We were fighting for the grievances, and we were substantiating. We had a good research department in the union, and we were beginning. Management at the hospitals began to appreciate that they didn't have the clout that we had before with the board, because we were political. We had Cope. Our members worked in the precincts. We had the support by then of the Central Labor Body, and our members participated very visually in all of these things. And we were beginning to win. A lot of these grievances and problems began to get resolved, and new ones came. We had to learn how to operate at the budget level, because we could win if we won a salary increase and they cut out services to the community. We couldn't settle for that, and we were as active in the budget hearings, very active with doing the same kinds of research. And in the budget hearings, many times they wanted to cut the health Services Department, we'd be there fighting, not together, but for the same, in a parallel fashion, and they would be fighting from their end. As a matter of fact, we've had, I've had the experience of bucking up the spine of a couple of the hospital administrators who are afraid of the board of supervisors and who are willing to take pay cuts mm-hmm. and service cuts and closing of hospitals.
Ask you, preparing for that, is what would you say in the period from the merger up to, say, 1961 and the fight over Social Security were your major victories?
I can't recapitulate that now for you. I have to go to the files and see.
Okay.
We won out on the, of course, on the separate grievances, and we won by getting more sick pay and more vacation pay, and I don't think that we had gotten. I'm not sure about the health care. I don't believe we got. We had the health care then, but I know that we increased the sick time and the time for personal leave. But I have to go through the files and find out when. Yes.
Just one other thing, and that is when on the job.
And civil service. Let me tell you this. We represented people on civil service, and we also represented people before the Industrial Accident Commission.
Mm.
And at first, the business agents used to handle the cases before the Industrial Accident. And our record, we didn't realize what a poor record we had, inadequate record we had, until we heard a labor attorney tell us about the opportunities that we were missing to serve our membership. And so we started to send our members to our attorneys for this. And I believe in the first second year after that, I think that we were able to succeed in getting $1 million worth of benefits of our workers who were injured on the job. You know, hospitals have a very, very high incidence of industrial accidents and slipping on wet floors and bending over to pull a patient up and back injuries. And we began to win our cases, whereas the beginning we had a rough time of it. So that was a major victory. The other, and we also lobbied in Sacramento on improving the benefits. Before civil service, we represented the members, and then later we had our attorneys represent the members, but when we represented the members before the Civil Service Commission, as business reps, I did it, and other people did it, we won jobs back. We prevented the suspensions and layoffs, firings of workers. We were successful in getting promotions, and reclassifications was a big issue for workers, preparing the cases very similar to the way that an attorney does
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One last question, and that is on the job actions. The sick outs, or the rolling sick outs, or the lunchtime actions. Were those usually over a very specific grievance?
They were not over a grievance. They were over some action that everybody participated in, which was something that affected everybody.
Everyone in the hospital.
That's right. Oh. Well, for instance, usually they came at wage time. At the end, when we were preparing for our negotiations and we were being offered nothing, or they were going to close down hospitals, and when we had a picket line in the harbor area, the people and the organizations in the Long Beach area were supportive. The church, the clergy came out to our picket lines and our lunchtime meetings, and we got publicity, and we were able to save or delay the closing of some of the health facilities. It was for much broader issues that they were very concerned with. I mean, it could be on the fact that night shift pay. We'd get those people who are on the night shift to demonstrate. One time they were holding up the janitors who worked the night shift at the Hall of Administration, and the head of department head would lecture them and collect money for his pet charities, and they were dying to get home and go to sleep or go to their daytime jobs. Many of them had to work during the day in order to support themselves, and he treated them like children. And we had a beautiful picket line before the Board of Supervisors, these night janitors, on that question, and that would change the whole procedure. And then, you know, then those people would would picket and demonstrate. But generally, they were around the larger issues of closing down the hospital, cutting down services, laying off people, not having a clinic open. And then we had the parents groups who were involved in that, too. So they were